Very good. So today we're going to give a presentation on in-ground vegetative propagation of single-node tea cuttings, some work we did in Georgia. Okay, it's not working. We'll go back. Okay. All right. So basically I had a master student who came in 2011 who was very interested in this idea of starting small-scale tea production. And he ended up working from 2011 to 2013, getting a master's degree there, and basically it was evaluation of alternative tea propagation nursery systems in the Piedmont region of Georgia, which is where Dong Lin and I are at. And during his thesis project, he looked at in-ground propagation, container greenhouse propagation, and then also did some very nice cost, volume, profit analysis studies. And all that's too much to talk about in the few minutes that we have available today. And so we're just going to talk about the in-ground propagation part of that study. So a couple different tea varieties. You know, we mentioned Camellia sinensis. But there's basically two main varieties that are grown. There's the Chinese or small leaf, originally native to southeastern China, and there were two cultivars that we were able to get our hands on. One's called Duran, the other one's called Grimball Point. So we had two of those, and then we had another one, the Assam or large leaf tea there, which is native to western, southern China there. You can see the hybridization there, but there is a cultivar available called Old Savannah that we utilize. So we had two of the small leaf types, one of the large leaf types that we worked with that are actually named cultivars and are available here in the U.S. So to sort of set this up, we had three different cultivars that we were looking at there, two propagation bed treatments. We did a raised bed, very similar to vegetable production that you would do in a Cecil clay loam soil, or we just had flat beds where we added a 10-centimeter 4 inches of sand on top of the native soil. So those were the two bed types. Three replications, 30 single node cuttings per rep. One of the things we adopted was using a bed surface covering of a landscape fabric. This is actually one of the common practices in Hawaii that they're doing now for weed control and helping with moisture management. We decided to do low tunnels covered with 80% shade cloth. And in Hawaii, they do very high elevation propagation there, so they'll actually use polyethylene covering. It's too hot in middle Georgia to cover these things with plastic, and so we went with a heavy shade cloth instead. Put mist nozzles roughly every 3 feet. You can see when the mist ran during the day there. That was adjusted daily by the student as needed. Air temperature, soil temperature, relatively, were all monitored with these data loggers. We stuck cuttings on July 19th, 2011. You can see we did a quick dip KIBA, fairly common treatment, terminated the study in November. Data that we were able to take, percent rooting, root dry weight, and then length of the longest root we measured. And this was conducted at the Durham Horticulture Farm in Watkinsville, just south of the UGA main campus. And again, this was a sort of a system that we modified from what's real common for production of in-ground cuttings that's utilized at higher elevations in the state of Hawaii. And so this just gives you an overview. We put down the ground cloth. We did these single node cuttings there. You can see we had, three of these little tents there. This was replicated three times. That's, again, 80% shade cloth, just simple PVC structure over a standard 5-foot wide bed there. And that was the experimental setup that we utilized to do this. So very, very simple, low-tech, something that any farmer would be easily able to set up and do that there. So a little bit of data there. So daily maximum temperature, again, this is within these little shade structures there. So you can see our maximum air temperature on average of 88 degrees Fahrenheit there. Minimum temperatures during the season, roughly 66 degrees. maximum soil temperatures, a little bit higher than we would regularly recommend for propagation, but okay. The soil minimum temperatures were definitely within the range that would be suitable for propagation. See, during the day, while the mist was running, we were able to keep the humidity quite high in there, but quite a bit of variability once that mist got shut off and into the evening hours. So anyway, a little bit of data there showing that certainly the heavy or 80% shade cloth worked very well and created a nice environment for propagation and production of these cuttings. So if we looked at rooting as percent there, so we have our propagation in sand, we have our propagation in the native soil. So basically we had an effect due to basically substrate, not cultivar, was the only thing. And again, in sand we had slightly better rooting, 84%, than we had in our native soil, which was at 78%. So again, no difference between the various cultivars in this particular system, slightly higher percentages of rooting due to using sand versus the native soil there. So here we are looking at root dry weight. We've got the various cultivars across here, there, and then whether the Assomica types or the Sinensis, and then for root dry weight. And then we have either they were grown in the sand or they were grown in the soil. Would be the two different types of bars there. So basically, rooting substrate wasn't significant, cultivar wasn't significant, but the interaction was. And so, as you can see, you've got two of the cultivars, you know, where the sand was less than the soil, and then you got this one cultivar where it sort of flipped. So there was definitely an interaction between cultivar and substrate for root dry weight. Okay, and the final data slide was mean length of the longest root. And so basically you have the length there. Here you have sand, you have in the native soil. So we definitely saw an effect of substrate on length of the longest roots. And so you were about, the longest roots were 60 millimeters there, whereas you had longer roots, 80 millimeters. When you grew it in the sand. And then if you look at length of longest root, there was a cultivar effect, definitely with Grimball Point having longer roots than Old Savannah, which was the Assomica or the large leaf type. So you're definitely having effects depending on what you're looking at by substrate, cultivar, or an interaction of the two. But overall, we had very good rooting, we thought, of the various plants that we were looking at. So to keep us on time here, we'll wrap this up with quick conclusions. So for this particular system, with in-ground with low tunnels plus mist during the growing system, rooting percentage was slightly better for sand versus rooting into our native clay loam. Root dry weight was influenced by a substrate by cultivar interaction with the three cultivars that we looked at and the two different substrates. Length of the longest root was greater in the sand, but it definitely varies by cultivar. I think this could have some impact on commercial production, because one of the things we noticed is that you pulled the cuttings out of the sand with these long roots. You ended up with your root dry weight might not have been different, but you ended up with these long stringy root systems that might have to be pruned before you went. So you had a much more compact root system when you grew them in the clay. So that could have significant production positive things there. So in terms of further research, that we looked at, we also did a container study on this compared to the in-ground propagation. Basically, saw no difference in a lot of these variables that we were looking at. So no difference in rooting, or didn't influence final marketability, but there was a significant difference in particular amongst cultivars when we got to the looking at if you kept them and went to market the next year. So again, a lot more that I could say, about all of this. Nice economic study that went along with this too. And so with that, I'll wrap up the presentation and be glad to take any questions.
Any questions?
Good. I told you I'd keep you on time.
There.
I promised her dinner last night. I would keep her on time.
I have a question.
Yes.
When you compare sand and your clay loam, what's the pH? Is there any significant difference in terms of pH or because of the irrigation system?
Okay, so Jan's question was there any significant differences in pH of the substrates? And basically what we did is we used iron sulfate to adjust the sand to the same pH that was of the native soil, which was upper fives, close to six, thereabouts. Yeah. So pH, we tried to normalize that. Yeah. So slightly on the acidic side. Okay, so the question, what was the underlying differences for rooting and all based on the two different substrates? Again, we have a fairly heavy clay loam soil, not a lot of sand in it. It tills up nicely, but over the season it will tend to compact and settle. And whereas, you know, the sand, you're putting 4 inches down, so you have a fairly stable substrate there over the season that's not going to compact. Being on top of the native soil, you're not going to have quite the water holding capacity and, you know, better drainage, slightly better aeration. So I think that had a big influence, on that. On the root length, I think what we saw was the roots went down, hit that clay, and then went laterally through that nice substrate. Yeah.
Any more questions?
Yeah. So, yes. Caitlin.
Are there any major disease problems during the rooting period?
So the question was, were there any major disease problems during the rooting period? Question is no. Yeah. At least in the in-ground part of it, we didn't notice any major disease issues during the container phase of it. We saw some of the typical root rots that might show up due to, you know, running the mist too long and keeping them too wet. But in general, we haven't seen a lot of disease issues with growing sinensis or oleifer, for that matter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.